All right, so this morning I'm going to share with you guys some statistical data that's really readily available to us, but I think we don't take advantage of it and don't take good use of it. So this morning I'm going to share from you a multiple reports from NAR and from Bafini and from different organizations that provide us with some really good insight and really good data and information, statistical data that we could use to do a better job and better serve our business and our clients and understand what's happening out there and get a better understanding of it. So I'm going to go through these slides and just explain to you what's happening and how you can use this information to do a job and to better serve your clients and better understand the market and the industry and that. So what I want to start off with first is just looking at some of the different generations that we do business with and understanding them and how they affect our business. So this source is from the NAR report from Home Buyers and Sellers. Does anybody look at the data and look at these reports and look at them, what they're available on NAR on their website?
No.
Okay, perfect. Well, then I'm glad I'm sharing this with you. So every year, your governing body provides you with some really good information and really good content and really interesting factual information in these different reports. They have all kinds of different profiles on home buyers and home sellers and information on the industry and on information on agents and the agents industry and that. So I'm just going to give you some insight on what's happening. So we start with one generation, what we call Generation Millennials, right? The Millennials and the Gen Yers. So Millennials are our consumers that are from the ages of 21 to 28, and Gen Yers are our consumers that are from the age of 29 to 38. And why this generation is important is that the baby boomer generation in North America was at one time the largest population of generation in history of real estate in North America. And they were at approximately 67 billion people there. And so what we're looking at is that 67 million for baby boomers, we're looking at 86 million or billion for millennials. So it's that much greater than the baby boomer generation. And what's interesting about why we have to pay attention to these millennials, and most agents are like, I don't really feel like I want to deal business with them. They're so entitled and they like things a certain way, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is that we can't ignore them because the wealth is being passed down from the boomer generation to the millennial generation. And here's why. The millennial generation is going to get their boomer money because the boomers know that real estate has always been a good investment for them in their history and that. So they're comfortable with lending money or gifting money or giving the millennials money to put into real estate and put into homes. And the millennials know they're factual type people, and they know from their desire to learn and to know and understand and know data is that they know the wealth that's been built in real estate. So they're keen on getting into real estate and keen on buying into it. So this is going to be the single largest in the next 5-10 years client that you're going to deal with in that. So currently, millennials are still the largest share of home buyers. They're at 37% of home buyers in North America. 86% of those millennials and 52% of Gen Yers are our first-time home buyers. So 86% of our first home buyers are millennials 21 to 28, and 52% of our Gen Yers, Gen Y 29 to 38, are making up a large, large portion of our first-time buyer home buyer market. Okay, they're becoming more traditional in their buying habits. They most likely will have children under the age of 18 at home, which is interesting. They look at commuting costs, which are important to them, and they look at most of them will make a compromise on their home purchase based on lending and based on their down payment, based on I think the biggest challenge that these two groups have is how do we get the down payment, how do we get the deposits, how do we get the monies up front. And they're looking at it once they've accomplished that goal, once they've accomplished that, then they're forming a largest form of our first-time home buyers market, okay? The next generation we have is a Gen Xer. The Gen Xers from the age of 29 to 53. The Gen Xers are now consisting of 24% of our home buyers. So we've got millennials and Gen Yers creating and forming about 37%, and we've got Gen Xers about 24%. 29 to 53, they're in their peak earning years. They have the highest medium income, this group. They buy the largest home and they're by the square footage. So millennials and Gen Yers are going and making compromises on their property and their home based on what they can borrow and finance in that. They're going into a smaller property or a lesser property based on their and that. And they're more important about commuting and their costs of commuting, and they're compromising on it. Where this group here is going for the biggest bang for the buck. I want to have the Costco best price, best size, for the bang for the buck in that. So just understanding what millennials and Gen Yers are looking at, commuting guys and compromise in size and that is not issue to them. Gen Xers, they're always about the biggest bang for my buck. Does that make sense to everybody? And Gen Xers, so this 29 to 53 year old component, and that the second largest group to have someone under the age of, hopefully not my case, under 18 living at home in that. And I don't know what the stat is, but people in North America, their children are living at home longer and longer. So those of you on this call here this morning, I apologize in advance. I think the average age right now is between 27 and 31 years old age until they actually leave the nest now. It's getting that crazy that your children are staying at home, and we're making it way too comfortable. And even more crazier study is that they're staying home to 27 and 31 and actually married and possibly having a grandchild living in your home as well, if that doesn't scare you even more. Okay, right? So they're not leaving home and you're not getting them booted out until 27 to 31. And plus they're bringing in their sibling and they're having a grandchild in their basement. Look out, we're in trouble. Okay, so Gen Xers here likely to purchase a multi-generational home with their children or with a parent. And they tend to be your move-up buyer and they tend to spend more money on a home purchase. And again, they want biggest bang for their buck, the Gen Xers, 29 to 53. Moving into our boomers. Our boomers are ages 54 to 72. They're the one boomer under the age of 63 makes up about 18% of the buyers, and over 63 is 14% of buyers, okay? And boomers, they have higher medium incomes. They're most likely to be married couples. These buyers up to 63 purchase due to relocating closer to a family. So you got Gen Xers that wanted bang for their buck and probably children and grandchildren in the basement or mom and dad inside. And millennials and Gen Xers just want commuting costs and close to their workplace or close to the amenities, and they'll compromise. But boomers, they're all about desire to have their own property, their own space, their own desire to be closer to family and friends, but they still want to be on their own in that. Buyers over 64, they would rather live in something that's more conducive to their health or more conducive to a type of community or something like that. And this group here, boomers, they're big on name brand. They're big on name and brand. They're less willing to compromise on the quality and what they want in their home. They're really know what they want and they're really going to have it and they're going to make it happen. And they're tougher to close as a buyer because they know what they want and they're entitled to it and they want it and they won't make any compromises. Okay. With boomers. So understand that, right? So you look at their basic thing is to be closer to family, but they still want their own space. Then we have the traditionalists or the silent generation. These are ages 73 to 93. These folks want they're the smallest share of our buyer pool. They want to retire, scale back. They have the lowest medium income for us to use. Their primary reason to purchase is they want to be close to family, but they also want to be secured and in a senior related kind of housing. And 29% of them purchase in something like a gated condo, security, senior oriented, kind of social networking and that of their senior and traditionalist type of people. They like to be close to their own people in that. So this just gives you a little bit of a snapshot on the generational trends, what generations we're dealing with and what they want and what motivates them. Okay. Any questions on what motivates them and who the trends are and who the generations are? Is that fairly clear and self-explainable? Makes sense?
Good.
All right, cool. Moving on. So we now know who they are and what they want and how they drive it and what's driving our business. Let's talk about the characteristics of home buyers. So 63% of in North America, 63% of recent buyers were married. Okay. So we're looking at married people, our clients, 63% of them, 18% were single female, 9% were single males. Obviously, single males don't have their poop together as well as single females do when it comes to home purchasing. And 8%, only 8% were unmarried couples, okay, living in common law. So this gives us the characteristics of your home buyers and that. So we know we're targeting more of married couples and single females are our two highest quadrants. And then we've got single males and unmarried couples coming in behind that, showing up about 17% of our home buyer characteristics. The highest percentage of single female buyers were the ages of 54 to 63 and 73 plus. Okay. So that boomer or that traditional single single female buyer forms that 18% of home buyer characteristics for us. Okay. 37% of all buyers had children under the age of 18 living at home. Ironically, 58% between 29 and 38 had at least one child under the age of 18 living at home. So your Gen Xers and that still have the children living at home, and a lot of them still have children under the age of 18 living at home. And again, they're married, okay? 12% of buyers purchase multi-generational. We're talking about how we're having children moving back in or parents moving back in. So 12% of our buyers are driven because of that reason. So again, when you're creating ads and you're creating targeted marketing and that, keep in mind that married couples, and so think about what they want and what they need and what they desire, and think about the buyers that are having that multi-generational home desire and purchase that. Just keep these things and keep these factors in mind. And technically, you know, keep in mind that if you're targeting single males and you're targeting unmarried couples, it's your lowest buyer pool and lowest characteristic. Most common reasons for purchasing a home. Number one, age 62 and below, their desire to own their own property. They feel that owning their own home is a great investment. Over 63, their desire to live closer to family and friends. And over 73 years of age, it's just smaller home and that retirement safety and community. Okay, so these are the characteristics of our home buyers, much similar to what we just looked at on the previous generational things, but just looking at the impact on how big the pool is for married couples, okay, when it comes to buyers. What are they looking for? What do they want to buy? The characteristics of the homes purchased. So 14% of the buyers' homes purchased new homes. And so I think you'd all agree on this. It's interesting to see that the cost of building a new model of a home is so extremely high that used is becoming way more affordable and way more realistic. And that seems to be the driving force of our characteristic of a home purchase. Would you guys all agree? So lot prices are so extremely high. Cost of construction is so extremely high. We're seeing that there are, I use this analogy, we're seeing the car dealership, let's use the analogy of vehicles, we're seeing the car dealership cost of building the new model in 2020 is so great and so high that we're seeing less and less new homes come on stream, single family. And so now because less new homes are coming off the line, we're seeing the used cars in value going up and becoming more of a commodity, if that makes sense. Okay. And that's true to most marketplaces and the new homes and the used homes and driving force there. Most purchasers of new homes, though, did want it just to avoid renovations, the nickel and diming, the problems with plumbing, electrical, roof, and things like that. That was their driving reason, that there's a certain group of people that just want that shiny new and less hassle and just love the smell of that new car and just have to have it. Okay. But that's 14% of those of our buyers. 86% of our buyers are going to settle out for a used product, you guys. Okay. All right. Now, most purchases of previously owned homes did so for a better price because it was not, it's a lot more affordable for our used homes than it is for new homes. 82% of all home purchases were detached and most common in all generations. Interesting. Heating and cooling costs play a big factor from the environmental perspective and from the cost perspective to most buyers. A third of buyers figure that they check in on the heating and cooling costs and the impact on the environment now, a third of people, where that would have been much, much lower a number of years ago. And overall, buyers are expected to live in their homes. It used to be 9 years, guys. We're looking at it probably on ratio, and this is probably not the greatest news, about 15 years now, right? And 19% saying that the only way you're getting me out of this property is feet first in a coffin, right? Yeah. So we're seeing people staying a bit longer than normal and that and making longer term positioning in that. And median right now is about 15 years staying in their home on average, where it used to be around 9 years. Okay. Now, moving on, What's the characteristic of our home seller? That was our home buyer and our home purchasers and our generations that. What are the characteristics of a listing and our home sellers? What are you looking for? So 25% of home sellers are between the ages of 39 and 53. So I know you guys know this, that most direct mail and most areas, you can find neighborhoods and find areas that specifically have this demographic and this age and that. And so look at that number and look at those stats and take into consideration that 25% of home sellers are between the ages of 39 and 53. They make up the most largest or the highest thing. The second highest is 64 to 72 age. So between those two, almost half of it is between 39 and 53 and 65 and 72. So if there's a way for you to target neighborhoods and areas that have people living there that are the majority of the age 39 to 53 and 64 to 72, that's half your home seller's market, you guys, when you're targeting for listings. 71% of your sellers were married couples. Again, there's an ability for direct mail and things to target married people, working people, people of age category, income category. So keep these numbers in mind. Most common reason for a seller to sell a home is that they're feeling it's too small. So when you're creating an ad campaign, one of the most simplest ways to move somebody's emotional meter is to play on their feeling that their property is too small. Number one driving reason to motivate somebody to sell their home is that it's just not big enough. Okay, right? So good knowledge and good information for you guys to know what to do and what to say to trigger those home sellers. Sellers typically moved after 9 years. 29 to 38 years, moved over 5 years. So you can see that under 30, it's 9 years, or sorry, 5 years. Typically, that's 9 years. And now we're starting to see that 15 years stretch come into play. So we've got different generations spending different times and length of times in their home. Under 30, 5 years. I'm going to say over 30 to 53, probably 9 years. And over 54, we're probably looking at 15 years. Okay. So now you know the pace of time that people choose to sell, 5, 9, and 15 years. 90% of sellers worked with a real estate agent, which is good news. 34% of sellers offered incentives to track buyers to their home, and 64% of the sellers were satisfied with the selling process. Ironically, 36% of sellers were very unhappy with our selling process and how we actually sold their home and marketed their home. So that's still a staggering high statistic, is how the disgruntled by the process and our agent process with sellers is still pretty high at 36% of their satisfaction. How many of you guys survey your people and survey your sellers and check in how well you did on your process and your marketing, things like that? Anybody survey their clients on a regular basis?
Not really.
So one of my mentors said, wait, just because you don't look in the mirror doesn't mean you're not fat. And what he meant by that was is that you should take time to ask them what kind of job you did, because ironically, you probably have a third of them that weren't satisfied with the process that you put into play. And how many of us in the call would wish to know that you didn't do a good job in your process and you'd love the opportunity to do it better or to address it with a disgruntled home seller?
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. Surveying and getting feedback, so important. Now, we've got a couple of graphs here. So looking at the age of home sellers. So biggest generation, again, home sellers, that 40 to 53, and then that 54 to 63, and that 64 to 72. So again, we can target where the sellers are from the age. Great data and great information. Looking at where to target what age categories for people that are going to sell and list. Okay. Now we look at the types of homes that are sold. Again, the highest percentage is detailed. And it just goes down. But again, we're just seeing the highest percentage of type of home sold is still a detached single family home versus the row connected or the apartment style. Okay. So again, targeting single family detached and targeting these age categories and putting campaigns together and being strategic is better than just being all things to all people. And that's why this data works for you and your business and being more strategic. Now, let's talk about how they find it, how they search it, and how they go through the process. So among all the generations of home buyers, the first step obviously is always online, right? We've known that. It's like something like 94% of all of them take their home purchase and everything and look online, right? Buyers over the age of 73, they're contacting an agent first, okay? More than they are looking online. Now, it's interesting to know your typical buyer's timeline, your home purchaser's timeline, 10 weeks and 10 homes. So ask yourself, am I doing a better job at 10 weeks and 10 homes, or am I doing a worse job in that? But understanding that being patient and the process and the timing is 10 weeks, 10 homes. Okay. All right. So use that to gauge how you're doing. Buyers 28 and younger are most likely generation to consider a foreclosure property. So this is funny. It's such a crazy stat because you know what it's like, the Poseidon Adventure, to go through a foreclosure property or something that's in default. And that's usually 28 or younger as a buyer's their first time. Like, it's ironic, but they're willing to go through the adventure and the disappointment of trying to get a home that's in foreclosure and try that for their first buying that. So keep that in mind. Don't discourage them. You might want to equip them and educate them whether they should or shouldn't in that, because they were all excited about taking the chance under the age of 28 to maybe look at that as their first purchase. Okay. Most buyers viewed online walkthrough when searching. So having the virtual tours and the walkthrough videos and things like that, they love that. Most important website feature was photos, but walkthroughs and virtual tours is another huge thing that you use for that home purchase search. Real estate agent contact information, if it's not there available, and check all your pages. Is your contact information, your phone number, and who you are in that on every page of your website? And then it's relatively, is it very, I look at so many different agents and you can't figure out where their phone number is and you can't figure out where their name is and their contact information. Look at each page on your website and make sure it's very, very prevalent on each page, okay? And all our generations were satisfied with their home search purchase. So they're more satisfied with the search process than the home sellers were satisfied with their sale process. Okay. All right. Continuing on, let's look and dig deeper into it. The online search, 67% of them went through and viewed and walked through. So did a tour on of online. A lot of them saw the exterior of the house and didn't go through it. So they looked at the online exterior of the house, but didn't actually physically go through it, 41%, which is crazy. Found the agent using a search to buy a home. So that's how they found an agent, 35% of them. 28% requested more information on online. A lot of them went through the pre-qualification or a mortgage broker or a mortgage lender online in that, 20, 15%. So your relationship with your lenders is huge here, because look at how valuable they are for leads for buyers and for home searches and that, with percentages, right? And it was, that's an interesting one for me, noticing that your relationship with your lenders is huge, because they are picking up buyer leads through qualifications and applications and things like that first. So they would be a phenomenal resource for you for picking up buyer leads in that relationship. Okay. But going back to this, the walkthroughs, the exteriors of the properties, and finding you online and requesting information are the top ways in which their results on the actions taken on an online search. Okay. Now, photo still number one, detailed information number two, floor plans number three, virtual tours number four, and your contact information number five. So there's your top five things that looking for: photos, details on the property, floor plans, virtual tours, and your contact information. That's what they're looking for when they're looking at your listings. Then there's all the other stuff, but look at the stuff and look at what's important to them. Make sure your web marketing is supplying what they're looking for and what they want, you guys. Okay, makes sense. So I'll send you the slide deck and you'll be able to go through this and see in more detail of what we're looking and that. 36% of them are wanting to know pending status. That's important to them online. Videos, a quarter of them. Funny, hey, you see this video, but video is about only 25%. Photos is 87%. The information on the property and being detailed is 85% desired. So it's interesting what we think they want and what they actually value when they look at it for a search online. Just the agent and the state of it, just referral business and that. 62% of boomers will get an agent by referral. Gen Zs, traditionalists will be 65%, Gen Xers 68%. Millennials, 78% chance of them getting an agent through a referral from someone else, which I thought was a staggering statistic, right? So keep in mind the importance of relationship selling versus transactional selling, still high on how they find an agent and that. Now, talking about you guys and the home buying process and real estate professionals, 87% of all buyers purchased their home through an agent. 63% of them used a referral of an agent they worked with, or an agent they worked with in the past. So crazy. why, like 80, they would say that they're satisfied, but only 63% of them will use you guys again. Why is that?
Because they're not happy.
They're not happy, or you didn't keep in
touch. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't keep in touch. So they're happy. High percentage of them are happy with you, but you didn't check in on them, or you didn't survey them, or you didn't keep in touch with them. So you're losing them, right? You're losing a lot of them in that, even though they said it. And so that stat always is running true in our industry. And I don't know why we don't address it, but staying in contact, keeping them, the average agent can lose 50% of their relationships list in 5 years by not keeping in touch. That high. 50% of your database in 5 years it only takes to lose if you're not keeping in touch. Buyers from all generations primarily wanted their agents to help them the following things. Now, 52% of them wanted to make sure that you helped them find that right home. The other percentages wanted to make sure that you were a good negotiator on the terms of their sale and then a great negotiator on their price. So when you are mentioning to them on home buying, you need to emphasize your ability to listen and to find that right home, your ability to negotiate the terms and negotiate the price. Those are the top three things they're looking for you when you bring skill to the table. Okay, you guys, that's important to them. Helping understand the purchase process, right? They're hugely, the millennials, they want to know more about what the process is involved and understand that process than anything else right now. Okay, so you know that if you don't have something on your website explaining the process or a video or a breakdown or in your marketing materials, you're completely losing the number one reason for millennials wanting to connect with you is your ability to be able to communicate the purchasing process. Because it's changed, it evolves, it's different all the time. Most important factor in a real estate agent is their honesty and trustworthy. That'll never change. 70% of buyers only interviewed one agent, which is interesting. Right during their home search, they only interviewed one buyer's agent. 70%, 90% would use their agent again and recommend them, but only 63% do. Right, crazy. They would use you again, but only 63% of them do because you haven't maintained communication and you haven't stayed in touch, and you didn't ask them if there's anything you could improve on. So I'll challenge you with that, knowing those statistics. And so the reality is that you know you're going to lose them if you don't keep in touch, and you're going to lose them if you don't survey them. Methods to use by them to find their agent. Number one, 39% referral, 24% use the agent. Previous personal contact. And again, look at these numbers. They're so low on all these different reasons. Sorry, 39 and 24% are the two biggest factors where they were referred by you or you kept in touch and they used you before. That's the driving factors. And then, yes, you can be lucky in picking them up, but the two driving forces are word of mouth and they used you and you kept in touch. Keep that in mind, like, because the percentages here are so staggering low, right? Telephone contact, email, 5% chance. Internet search, 4% chance. Met you at an open house, 4% chance. Like, just looking at these statistics, they're so low on the importance of keeping them and doing a good job or a referral from a friend, and that is still the driving factor in how they find you, okay? It hasn't changed and it won't change. And we're so guilty as an industry of not maintaining contact, not getting people to send us referrals or asking for referrals and earning them, right? You got to earn them to ask for them as well. Moving forward, what services sellers want from an agent? 20% want you to market the home to potential buyers. 20% want you to how to sell them within a specific time frame. So how you market, the time frame you market, how you can get more for their price, for their home, and how you find buyers for a home, and how you can help them with fixing up and touching up and presentation of a home, top five factors there, okay? So they want you to, your ability to market, your ability to sell quickly, your ability to net them more money, and your ability to find a buyer for them, and your ability to help them present and make it more saleable and ways to fix and improve. Those are the top things that they're looking for you guys and services when you're doing a listing presentation, okay? Now, most important factor in choosing an agent, your reputation. So again, testimonials, hugely important. Your reputation online, what people say about you and how they say about you, number one, right? Your honesty and trustworthy, it's a given. Your friend or family member, 15%. Knowledge of the neighborhood, interesting. You being the neighborhood, perceived as neighborhood expert, 13% factor in choosing an agent. So your reputation of being that, so geofarm and that, and specializing. And then the rest of them are just a crapshoot from there. So your reputation, your honesty and your integrity, your friend and family members and them insisting you, and your knowledge and perception of being an expert, an area expert on a niche or a geographic segment, the top factors on how they choose an agent. Okay. Again, methods to use a market home. I love this, is that when sellers try to tell you what to do and how to do it, here's data to prove it, right? MLS, number one method, right? To use, right? It's the most powerful thing. Number two, a sign. So somebody saying we don't want a sign, it's 66%, right? Methods used to market a home. Realtor.com, number three. Open house, number four. Your agent website, your company website, four and five. And third-party aggregators, so third-party providers and that, and social media. Okay, so look at those factors and look at those things that are the top methods of market a home and what they're looking at and what they're looking for, okay? The power of MLS is a no-brainer, but it's interesting. How many of you had clients that say, I don't want to sign? Anybody had that situation? They don't want to sign?
Once in a while.
Yeah, and so we're private in that. Well, 66% of the people, right, want a sign. And then last but not least, the emphasis on the relationship side of things. Focusing on the data says to us, they would use us again if we continue to communicate, continue to add value, continue to be in touch. Working by referral is a lot better way of doing business. It's a more enjoyable way of doing business than that. And you got to understand that you got to give them what they want. And the data tells you guys what they want. And the data shows you what they want and then they need. I'm going to end with just some tech marketing trends, because technology obviously has become a big component in our thing. So I'm going to just go through this quickly and explain to you the latest marketing trends and how you can be more effective with technology and your marketing and what they want. Number one, just you being social, you having a blog, you having an up-to-date website, and you having that platform and that. If you don't have a website, if you don't have blogging content or a website with content that's changing and it's current and it's changing over and over, then you're missing out what they're looking for. They're looking for fresh content, fresh knowledge, fresh information, but they're also looking for a fresh, up-to-date website. So if you haven't updated your website in a long time, you're hurting yourself. If you're not being active on social, you're hurting yourself. And if you're not providing changing and content on a regular basis, you're missing out on your presence online as well, okay? Number two, be mobile. So we're spending more time on mobile devices than we are on our PCs and our laptops and that. So you got to make sure that everything you're doing online like this is readily available and easily displayed on mobile friendly and that, because that's where we're spending our time. It's a huge 76% of their buyers are looking on it. So is your web pages, is your web stuff, is your social stuff, is your blog stuff, everything that you do online, is it easily displayed and readily available on a mobile device? Okay. And you think it's something it's common, but it's not that common. And people have the display versions of PC and laptop versions, but they're not considering how it displays and how it shows in a mobile. It's 76% of the industry is looking at it on mobile, and only 24% is looking on their PC or their laptop. So mobile. Spend more time on how it displays and how it shows for the experience for somebody on mobile than you have on your PC or your laptop. Okay. Incorporate video. We heard it time and time again. I'm a big firm believer. Video is so powerful because 86% of communication is nonverbal. What I mean by that is that it's tone, it's voice inflection, it's eye contact, it's body language, things like that. Video allows us to deliver that as well as close as it is being face-to-face and in front of them and body-to-body and belly-to-belly, okay? That's why the video has that power. Now, is video the be-all and end-all? No, but you just want to make sure that you have some sort of presence, whether you're using video email or you're using Facebook Live or you have some video component, because it's the closest next best thing to them seeing you and experiencing you face-to-face, okay? Asking for the business. Again, if you don't ask for the business, you don't get the business. And so just reminding, I think it's important, two things, you guys, write this down. Ask for the business, but educate them on how they can give you the business. Educate them on how to give you a referral. So Annabelle, when you come across somebody who wants to buy and sell, would you mind doing me one big favor? Would you mind texting me or calling me or emailing me, giving me that person with their permission, their name and information, and I will follow them up and give them excellent service. I will not pressure them, I promise, and I'll take great care of them. You can expect that. And would you be able to do that for me? Educate Annabelle, educate the client on how they need to give you the referral and be asking for it, but you also have to have earned it to ask as well. Okay, so earning it, asking for it, educating it, hugely, hugely important. Okay. And the last thing is just your touch points, your touch points. How we talk about database touches, that how do I add value? How do I deepen my relationship? How do I become insistent? How do I deliver the unexpected? And that is never going to change. And whether you use technology or whether you don't use technology, it's important that you add value and wow in all your people and deliver the unexpected when they don't expect it. They expect you to send them a newsletter, but they don't expect you to host a client party or invite them for coffee or give them the gift of your time, right? So continue to how to increase that, the touch points, and how to increase and deepen your relationship and earn the right to be insisted to the other people that they know, like, and trust as well with you and your business. Any questions or comments or anything like that? Gifting people, get a CRM, I mean, self-explanatory. Handing out pop-by gifts, hugely important, delivering that wow factor. And just a CRM, I get asked the question all the time, what's the best CRM, Wade? The best CRM is the one that you will use. True story, my top producer in my brokerage does 192 transactions a year. You know what a CRM is, guys? Recipe cards. That's a CRM, not even exaggerating. He does 192 transactions. He has thousands of recipe cards with notes about every discussion and conversation with every one of his clients on recipe cards in the back of his car. True story. And it's the best thing for my top producer to do 192 transactions a year using recipe cards. I don't even think you can buy them at a place. He has to order them on Amazon to even find recipe cards anymore. But it's his CRM. So it doesn't matter what the CRM is. It's the one that works for you and the one that you use, if that makes sense. Okay. Yeah. And then referrals, word of mouth, best business, best way to do business. You got to write this down. One person equals $1,000 of annual income. One equals 1,000. The last statistic I'll leave you is one equals 150. One person will, if you earn it, open the door to another 150 people. Never forget that. One equals 1,000 a year. One equals 150. You didn't add value to one person today. You add value with the ability to be able to possibly add value to another 150 people that one person knew today. Okay. That helpful, you guys? That data good for you? I'll give you the slide deck. I'll give you the numbers. I'll give you the stuff. I encourage you to go through each slide, look at it, and strategize and use the data to do that. Any questions or comments for me before we close today?
Thank you.
Good job. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, everybody, have a good week. I'll send you the slide. I'll send you the recording, and use this data to massage and tweak your business and do a better job. And everybody have a fantastic rest of your week and all the best. Okay. We'll talk to you soon.
You too. Okay. Bye, Wade.
Bye for now.